Welcome to the Nutrition Edit Podcast for high-performing women who want to up-level their health and feel their best in their bodies, careers, and personal lives. In this podcast, I'll sift through the latest nutrition and biohacking trends to filter out the bullshit, share what you really need to know, and help you put the good stuff into practice in a way that works for you. You'll get actionable tips from guest experts and myself on how to up-level your mindset, workouts, relationships, and environment, and start feeling like the badass woman you are. Join me as we bust through the bro science and male-centric health paradigm to help you achieve optimal performance, body, mind, and soul. Hello there, lovelies. Welcome back to the Nutrition Edit. I'm your host, Jeannie Oliver, functional nutrition and wellness coach. And today I'm doing an Ask Me Anything episode where I answer the most common questions from my listeners and clients. So I've got three topics for you today, and I want to kick it off with one of the most common questions that people ask me, which is how can they quickly boost their energy, especially when they get that sort of afternoon energy slump? And look, I know it is really tempting to get in the habit of grabbing a latte and a pastry in the afternoon, but those really end up working against you because they're going to cause this big blood sugar spike and then a subsequent energy dip, which puts you right back where you started in that energy deficit, right? So here are a few of my good quick energy boosters for you. The very first one, which I think is the most important, is water. If you're not drinking enough water, you're going to be fatigued, period. Even slight dehydration can cause low energy. It can cause a lack of concentration and poor memory, and it can also increase anxiety. So I talk a lot more in detail about hydration in episode 9 of season 2. So if you want to learn more about this, like how much you should be drinking according to your body weight and how to, you know, best hydrate, go give that episode a listen if you want to learn more. So water is number one. The second one that I really love is wheatgrass. And wheatgrass is a great natural energy booster. I actually love this in lieu of an energy drink. It's really high in chlorophyll, B vitamins, folate, all of which can boost energy. Like if you read the ingredients of a lot of energy drinks, they have a ton of B vitamins because they are energizing. And you know, if you're someone who lives a high stress lifestyle, B vitamins are one of those nutrients that can be quickly depleted by higher stress. Increasing your B vitamins in something like wheatgrass is a great way to get that little burst of energy. It also supports red blood cell formation, and your red blood cells are what are carrying nutrients to all of your organs and the rest of your body. So you want healthy blood cells, and it's neuroprotective as well. So it's going to protect your brain and nervous system. Wheatgrass can also help with blood sugar regulation. So it really is a superfood. And I realize that many people do not love the taste of wheatgrass. I happen to love it, but the flavor can also vary a lot depending on the quality and the freshness or the origin of the wheatgrass. So if you try one and you don't like it, try another one. You might also just mix it with a little bit of stevia or something to give it better flavor. Now, ideally, you would get fresh wheatgrass from an organic juice bar. You want it to be organic. But most of us do not have access to an organic juice bar. I don't have one close by. So I think it's really easy to use an organic powdered wheatgrass. The one that I like is by Amazing Grass, but there are several good organic brands out there that make it. And it's really easy. It just comes in little like stick packs or a little tub, and you can use a scoop and just mix it with water. So that's kind of an easy way to get it. I love little stick packs for travel too, because I can just easily mix them with water if I need a little energy boost when I'm on the go, or I can throw it in my handbag. So that's kind of an easy, quick and dirty way to get it. And just in case you're wondering, yes, wheatgrass is actually gluten-free. The grass itself is harvested before the wheat seeds sprout, and it's the seeds that actually contain the gluten proteins. So if you're worried about that, don't worry, it is gluten-free. Okay, third tip for quick energy boost is a quick burst of exercise. This one is really easy, it's free, and you don't have to do much at all. So many of us are sitting for really long periods of time during our workday, and that is a recipe for fatigue. So give this a try. Just try getting up from your desk and doing something like a few jumping jacks or a few bodyweight squats, or just walk up and down a flight of stairs, maybe take a short walk outside or up and down your hallway. Anything that gets you moving and increases your heart rate even a little bit will do the trick. And you'll probably find that it increases your energy and helps with your productivity and focus for the rest of the day. So it's really worthwhile to take a few minutes to get up, move your body, get your blood pumping, and you'll feel just so much better. Okay, the next one is energizing breath work. I'm sure you know that breathing exercises can help calm you down and relax you, but they can also help to energize you. One of the easiest ones for me is one that I found on the Wim Hof site. Wim Hof is a man who pioneered a lot of breathing techniques, and I'll link to this in the show notes, but it's called double breathing, and here's how it goes. So you want to get into a comfortable position, ideally close your eyes, and then breathe in a short breath through your nose, then continue with a deep inhalation through the nose. So short breath in the nose, and then a longer, deeper breath through the nose. And then take a short breath out through your mouth and continue after that with a long breath out. So it's basically like short breath in, long breath in, short breath out, long breath out. And you just repeat that several times, you know, 5-6 times I think is probably enough. And that can be really energizing. I also really like the XPT app. XPT is a company started by Gabby Reese and Laird Hamilton, and they have a whole workout app. It has a ton of great breathing exercises in there for everything from like just, you know, a quick energizing exercise to exercises for helping you wind down at night or breathing exercises to use, you know, before, during, and after workouts. It's really great. So you might check that out as well. And then finally, for energy boosters, organic green tea. Now, yes, this has caffeine, but green tea is also high in L-theanine, which research shows can increase your levels of GABA, dopamine, and serotonin, which all promote relaxation and help reduce anxiety. L-theanine can also help to boost your mental clarity and focus. So for many people, it doesn't cause the same jittery effects that coffee does. I know for me, it gives me a little bit of a boost or a wake-up effect, but it doesn't mess with my sleep or give me the jitters the way that coffee does. I mean, typically I can't do caffeine after noon, like 12 p.m., but if I need to sometimes, green tea works for me. It may not work for everybody. If you're really sensitive to caffeine, then you want to avoid it. But often because of that L-theanine, it kind of can counteract those caffeine effects a little bit and have less of that sort of jarring jolt to your adrenals. So if nothing else is cutting it and you really need a little hit of caffeine, green tea, specifically organic green tea, is the best way to go. And the reason I always talk about choosing organic when you buy tea is because teas are not regulated in the same ways as foods, and they can add all kinds of weird stuff like fragrances and things to them if they're not organic. And also, places that the tea leaves are grown can sometimes contain contaminants that are in higher concentrations than in other areas. So green tea, for example, I opt for organic grown in Japan or the US. Well, it used to be Japan. Now we have concerns about radiation. But oftentimes the Chinese grown green tea can contain high levels of toxins, metals, things like that. So, you know, you want to minimize your exposures as much as possible. So do try to buy organic teas. That's my take for energizing tips for you. So hopefully you find that helpful, because I think that that's a really common problem for us, is that we just get these energy dips throughout the day. And then, you know, we tend to gravitate towards sugar or caffeine. I know dark chocolate is the one that's always tempting for me, but I have so many clients who get in that rut or that routine of having like a pastry and a coffee in the afternoon. And it's horrible for blood sugar. It's horrible for your energy. It can mess with your sleep. It's super unfat loss friendly. Like, it's really not metabolically friendly. So it's a really bad habit to get into. And these are some great techniques that you can use instead. All right. So moving on. The next question I'm often asked is collagen a good source of protein? Collagen has been really popular in recent times, and a lot of people are using it. There are a lot of collagen-based protein powders and such out there. However, collagen is not a complete protein. Look, I love collagen. I actually use it myself, and I express a lot with my forehead. And I always joke that Gordon Ramsay is back in town when I stop taking my collagen, because I can actually see a noticeable difference in the lines on my face. Collagen is incredible. It's excellent for your hair, your skin, nails, and joints. It supports gut health, but it is not a complete protein. So you should not be relying on it as a dietary protein source. I want you to think of it more as a supplement to support all these things that I just listed, okay? So it's great. I do use it, but we need to be mindful about it and use it appropriately and not rely on it as a source of dietary protein. So a complete protein is one that contains all 9 essential amino acids, and collagen is lacking one of these called L-tryptophan. Now, here's the trick. If you actually combine collagen with foods that are rich in tryptophan, you can actually create, so to speak, a complete protein. So you've probably heard how combining beans and rice, will create a complete protein. And you can do that with collagen too. You just need to incorporate more of the foods which are rich in tryptophan. So tryptophan-rich foods include eggs, salmon, cheese. If you tolerate dairy, you could also opt for sheep or goat's milk cheeses, which are a lot less inflammatory for many people. Pineapple has tryptophan. Tofu, again, make sure it's organic. Otherwise, it's really a heavily sprayed crop and often GMO. Nuts and seeds are rich in tryptophan, as well as turkey. This is probably the most well-known one because, you know, people often attribute like that sleepiness after Thanksgiving dinner to the turkey. It's usually because we overate, not so much about the turkey, but turkey is really rich in tryptophan. So if you're incorporating some of those foods, I recommend you incorporate those foods if you're going to be using collagen regularly. And here's why this is important. Tryptophan is actually a precursor for serotonin production. And if you have a lack of tryptophan, it can cause all kinds of issues like anxiety, bad mood, depression. Anything that can be caused by low serotonin is going to be caused by lack of tryptophan, because you need tryptophan to make serotonin. So if you've been using collagen-based protein powders or relying on collagen as a protein source, just try combining it with some of those tryptophan-rich foods, and I think you'll be a lot happier, and you can still get all the wonderful benefits of collagen. Hello, amazing women. If you're enjoying the show, I would love to connect with you over on Instagram. Just find me at JOliverWellness and DM me the words nutrition edit. I'll add you to my close friends list where I share exclusive content, and you'll be the first to know about my upcoming masterclasses and programs and get early access to my waitlist. Okay, now back to the show. All right, number 3, and this is my final question that I want to cover today for time's sake. Oh, God, this is such a big one, such a common one. The question is, how often should I weigh myself? And as you may have heard me say before, probably many times throughout this podcast, I think the scale is a waste of time. It does not give you detailed information or any information really about your actual body composition. It's not good data, and it can put you on an emotional roller coaster from day to day. I mean, our weight can fluctuate so much, especially for women, depending on where you are in your cycle, what you ate the day before, you know, how much salt you've had. There's so many things that can affect this. So weighing yourself every day is not really telling you about your actual body composition, okay? I do think that tracking our progress is important, but we need to be tracking what really matters. And in this case, that's your body fat percentage and your lean muscle mass. And the best way to do that is to get what's called a DEXA scan, which is going to give you the most accurate reading of your body fat percent and lean muscle mass, and also your bone density. Now, DEXA scans can get expensive, so you probably don't want to do them all the time. And here's what I recommend doing instead. I recommend getting a DEXA scan 1, maybe 2 times a year, and that will give you a great baseline reading of your body composition. Then you can purchase a home scale, and these can range greatly in pricing, but I would say, you know, around $100, anywhere from like, well, not even that much. The good ones I would say are like $80 to $200 or so. And these are often called electrical impedance scales. So These are scales that measure your body fat percent and your lean muscle mass. And they're not as accurate as a DEXA scan. But if you do your DEXA scan, you have those numbers from that scan, you can then use your home scale and compare those two numbers in order to kind of calibrate that home scale, all right, according to your DEXA scan results. And you want to do this as soon as possible after you get that DEXA scan before your body composition has a chance to change much. So here's an example. If your DEXA scan says you have 30% body fat, for example, and your home scale gives you a reading of 27%, well, you know that there's about a 3% margin of error there on your home scale, and you can add or subtract that percentage difference from your readings. Another benefit of the DEXA scan is that it's going to give you your what's called a T-score, which is essentially an estimate of your bone density. And ideally, especially for us women, we would all start measuring our bone density in our 20s, but most of us don't do that. And really, any time is a good time to know where you're at with bone density so that you can take steps to either preserve or improve on your bone health. So that's another added benefit of doing a DEXA scan once in a while. And there are more accurate measurements of bone density, which, you know, typically you'll have to go to a special imaging center for and have a prescription to do that. But you can at least get a ballpark from the DEXA scan. So that's helpful. Your home scale is probably not going to give you that. So I wouldn't rely on that. But this is kind of a less expensive way of getting the most accurate readings of your body composition. Because honestly, if you're my client, I don't care what you weigh. If your body fat percentage is either decreasing to a healthy point or is at a healthy point, and your lean muscle mass is either increasing or being maintained, those are the two things that I really want to see, regardless of your weight, because those are what are going to set you up for long-term metabolic health. You're going to feel better, look better, all of those things, right? And your weight is really sort of inconsequential as long as those things are happening. Now, before I move on, I will say that there are a couple companies out there, DexaFit and BodySpec are two that both have locations all over the US. I send a lot of my clients to DexaFit Seattle, and I've had a great experience with them. But you can go on either the DexaFit, it's just DexaFit, or BodySpec, spelled BodySpec, all one word for both of those. And you can look up a location near you. So go check those out if you're looking to find a place to schedule one near you. But if you don't want to pay for a DEXA scan at all, or you don't have access to one where you live, there are a couple ways that you can measure your body composition, which are less accurate, but are still much more helpful than the scale. So a good old-fashioned tape measure and a set of what are called the body fat calipers, these are really an inexpensive way to track changes. You can buy body fat calipers on Amazon for like 10 to 15 bucks. And a flexible tape measure is maybe a few dollars. They're very cheap, readily available. The calipers are going to come with instructions on how to measure yourself. And they usually have a chart so that you can take your measurements and then estimate your body fat percentage according to those measurements. And you're going to measure places on several parts of your body and then add those, average them, and then look at the chart. It'll give you an estimate reading. The tape measure will really just show you if certain areas are increasing or decreasing in size. But the trick with that is to make sure that you're measuring in the same places each time. So just try to be as consistent with where you're measuring. So if you're measuring your waist, try to measure exactly the same place on your waist each time. Maybe you have a pair of underwear or workout pants or something that hit you at a specific place. And then you can measure your waist, you know, right above that and help take a more consistent reading that way. It's a little bit harder if you're going to do like around your thigh or your hips or your arms, but just do the best you can. So the calipers, you know, they're not going to give you any data about your lean muscle mass, but it will give you a ballpark for your body fat percentage, which is super helpful. And I know many women worry about bulking up, but really, in fact, increasing your lean muscle mass is going to make you firmer, tighter and more toned looking and often smaller. You know, I think people, I hate the word toned. It cracks me up when people use that, but I know what you mean when you use that word. I think when people say toned, they mean defined. So you actually have like muscle definition. And the reality of this is that you cannot tone up or define what you don't have. So rather than focusing on toning up or just doing more cardio and trying to lose fat, I'm always beating a dead horse here, but start by working to build strength and muscle, and that toned look is going to follow for you. Okay. So those are my tips on measuring body composition versus just using the scale and weighing yourself. So deep breath. That was long-winded and fast today, but that's what I've got for you. I hope you found these topics helpful, and I really love to hear from you. So keep your questions and suggestions coming, and then I will incorporate them into my next Ask Me Anything episode. I'm going to add a link to the show notes where you can send me anything that you'd like me to cover in these Ask Me Anything episodes. And of course, you can always DM me on Instagram, but that link is right through my website at joliverwellness.com/podcast AMA, just the letters AMA. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Hey there, thanks for hanging out with me today. And if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave me a quick review. Also, check out the show notes for links to connect, follow, and share this podcast and for information featured in each episode. See you next time.
I am not a doctor, and the content here should not be taken as medical advice. All information in this podcast is for informational purposes only, does not constitute medical advice, and does not establish any kind of practitioner or coach-client relationship. This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not disregard medical advice or delay seeking medical advice because of information you hear in this podcast or any other, and do not start or stop any medications without speaking to your health provider. Always seek the advice of a qualified health practitioner before undertaking a new health regimen. This podcast and website represents the opinion of Jeannie Oliver and guests to the show. Opinions of guests are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Jeannie Oliver Wellness, LLC, or our producers.